Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Staying with the heater up. Fly ball right field, deep. Chaz McCormick has room and puts it away in front of the wall. Rangers making a bid for another dramatic final inning, but Josh Hader had just enough to keep that in the stadium, and the Astros escape with a 4-2 win and a combined one hitter between Framber Valdez for 26 outs and Josh Hader with a little skip of the heartbeat for the 27th out.
A little skip of the heartbeat? Josh Hader, please, for the love of God, give me one night. One night where I could feel amazing the next day about Framber Valdez and what he's been doing over the last couple of months. He was within one out of a no-hitter before Corey effing Seager, again, hit a home run. But he's 6-0 in his last 8 starts with a 2.81 ERA. The Astros are 8-0 over his last 8 starts. His 6 wins since June 23rd are tops in the majors. And he was so close to being the second pitcher in franchise history to record 2 no-hitters. Framber Valdez, Joe George, nearly got it done last night.
He was incredible. This is the Framber that, you know, last year before the All-Star break, he was the number one or two betting favorite to win the American League Cy Young. And then the second half of the season was a mess. But that's who he's been in his last handful of starts again, as a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Also, great defender yesterday. Great infielder. Couple great plays. Every single one got a little nervous.
Sean's moving his head back and forth. It is a low bar to clear with Framber Valdez as a fielder.
Also, the real, I guess, wildness that comes with the Framber fielding experience is when there's runners on base. And credit to him, we're not hardly any runners on base for the entire game. But it's when he tries to pull a double play or make a play at the plate that he somehow throws it into the second deck.
He makes it fun. He makes it fun.
Yeah, I mean, for the fans who might leave with a souvenir. Yeah.
Right, exactly, Sean. Some more Framber fun facts. I mean, he's been on a roll of late. This is from the Astros notes. But after last night's game, since becoming a mainstay in the Astros rotation in 2020, Framber has been one of the top starters in the majors since 2020. He's 56-31 with a 3.23 ERA, first in wins in the American League, third in ERA. His 7 complete games are tops in the American League over that period. And since 2020, he leads all pitchers in postseason innings and strikeouts and is tied for first in postseason wins. So,
very good. You know what else? Framber, yeah. Yesterday was back in his blue jerseys.
Yeah.
He's gone away from me in his blue jerseys every time. Also, Yainer Diaz caught him yesterday.
Yainer Diaz almost caught his second no-hitter of the season.
Yeah. So, Yainer Diaz, he's back as a good catcher.
But you're switching it over, Joe,
yep,
to Yainer Diaz.
Oh, we're going right into it.
I mean, we gave it 5 minutes talking about all the good things that Framber Valdez has done since June 23rd. Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go on trial. I'm ready. The Twitch is here. Let me pull up the restream here so I can put Junior Broncos comments on the YouTube and everything.
At ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. So the season has changed dramatically for the Houston Astros over the last couple of months, largely due to that 17-4 stretch that they had. And there was a time when we were wondering about the future of the Astros, things they should maybe do at the trade deadline. And let me think.
making a slow
nothing comes,
build.
Nothing comes to mind.
Slow build. Nothing. Huh. Nope. What was it? What was it that Joe said? Oh, Joe, at the very least, seriously considered trading Framber Valdez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Junior Bronco reminds the Twitch, and you can see it now if you're watching on YouTube as well, Junior Bronco says, should have traded Framber when he took off, when he shook off Yiner signs back in April. May, am I right?
I think it was May 21st.
Yeah, it was May, Junior Bronco. Get your days right, okay? If you're going to come at me, get your facts correct.
I mean, but the fact that you asked to trade Framber Valdez is a fact.
Here's the thing. When I made that comment, I don't regret it.
You don't?
Because, as also Junior Bronco points out, I said it was disrespectful to his teammates. Because I think it was. Because you had a good start going, and then you decided that you knew better than Yiner Diaz, who like proved again last night he's a good catcher. Maybe not the best framer, he's a good catcher. But Framber was a disaster in that start. And I was kind of fed up at the time with how the Astros were playing, with Framber's mental breakdowns that he's been having. I know Dana Brown today, actually, when he was doing his flagship interview, he tried so hard. I give QB1 a lot of credit. He straight up asked Dana Brown, is Framber no longer mentally weak? That's pretty much what he asked him. And Dana tried to spin it as, oh, it's just being competitive and all this and this and this. No. It's mental breakdowns. And he was incredible last night. Do I regret saying the Astros should trade Framber Valdez? No. And was I wrong? For the time being, yes. I was.
So then why don't you regret it?
Because I don't back down from takes that I give. If I...
Oh, wait, hang on. Because that's what this was an opportunity to do. Much like Framber Valdez seems to finally be back on the right track. Joe, this was an opportunity for you to dig in your heels.
Yeah, trade him this offseason.
There we go. There it is. I mean, build your wall.
He is a great pitcher. When he's this guy, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. There has never been a doubt about that. It's the mental collapses that this guy had when he wasn't named the starter of the All-Star team last year by Dusty Baker that I was kind of just over. Over it.
And you still even saw it last night, because when he gave up the Corey Seager home run, I saw his body language and I was like, get him the hell out of this game.
Yes, get him out now.
Get him out quickly.
Move him.
It was a great start. Just pull him. Just throw in the towel.
And honestly, if they didn't warm up Josh Hader, like maybe he would have just got through it. Because I'm sure like he's the kind of guy that I think he sees the guy warming up in the bullpen, even though he's got a high pitch count, he's got a no-hitter going, that he can't handle it. I do love Framber Valdez. I do love Framber Valdez.
Even though he's mentally weak.
He is at times.
At times.
You know, always.
Joe, sometimes I'm mentally weak. Do you want to trade me?
No, I love you.
You love me?
I love working with Paul.
You love working with me. Do you love me or do you love working with me?
I don't know
me?
If we're there yet.
See, look, I'm having a mental breakdown right now.
I love you, Paul.
But I don't know if you
Including
actually do.
All your grays.
See, what the hell? See?
What?
I'm having a mental breakdown right now. And Joe George, he's willing to trade a Latin American, but not willing to trade
a white man. Texter's going to be coming after
us
again.
Listen, he's got a point there.
Look, I don't apologize for my Framber take. Was I wrong? Probably. I also, in my own defense, when I said it, I did believe the Astros were going to have, I don't know, a bunch of guys coming back to pitch for this team in 2024. And I didn't think he would be as important as he is now, because right now he's the only guy you can trust besides Hunter Brown. Yeah. Like I thought JV was going to be better than he's been. I thought Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers were going to come back. So part of it was of like there's more coming. That's all gone now. Framber Valdez, I'm glad they didn't trade him. I'm not going to double down on that take. I am going to double down on the fact that I would still never give this guy a new contract. I would not give someone that is this inconsistent. I cannot believe I'm saying this the day after he almost threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
But like, I would not give him $30 million a year or whatever he's going to cost at his age when he hits free agency in 2 years.
I'd give him 50.
I'd give him 100. No, Poncho. I don't have an axe to grind against the age. I love Houston.
I think you do. I think you do, man.
I had plenty of opportunities to leave, and I haven't left. I like the city.
There's a no-hitter today, And
no, there was not a no-hitter.
There was almost a no-hitter today. And here's Joe George. And he's sort of wavering, but he still hates Fromber.
I don't hate Fromber.
I mean, listen, let's be honest. At least we talked about this no-hitter in a slightly more positive note than the bench did this morning. John led off the show saying, it felt like a loss.
When I heard him say that, at first I was like, yeah. Like, I kind of see that. Like, yeah, we're all kind of stressing with Josh Hader in there. You're wondering what's going to happen next. Corey Seager comes up. Like, I just, you know, it was stressful for a no-hitter.
I had, like, the opposite reaction to that. Because Framber Valdez, well, A, because as Astros fans, we've seen, like, 10 no-hitters the last 3 years. They just throw them every single year, including Framber Valdez, who threw one last year. So normally I'd be riding or dying with, let's get this guy a no-hitter. Fromber, I'm like, got one last year. Like, let's just get the win. Just get out of here with the win.
Wow.
Stay alive for the golden boot.
You know what, Sean, though? It's the silver boot. Get it right. Huge trophy. No, not whatever. The Astros have won it 7 years in a row. And since they've won it 7 years in a row.
I was going to get too much credit, I guess.
No, you weren't golden. Come on.
I forgot. It's a less precious medal.
I cannot confirm nor deny that. However, Framber Valdez, you're just so dismissive of Framber Valdez's no-hit ability. Did you know that Framber Valdez has had 4 no-hitters going into the 7th before last night? So he's had 5 no-hitters at least going into the 7th inning. He has a no-hitter already. I mean, he's going to get another no-hitter at some point.
Definitely.
He gets the ground balls. I think there were only 7 balls out of the infield, 12 ground ball outs. His 62.6% ground ball percentage rate is by far the highest in the majors since 2020. He's a no-hitter machine.
That curveball was sick last night. When that thing's moving like that, he is. He's filthy. He's a filthy, filthy pitcher.
Trying to build up his trade value.
Yep, for the offseason.
Yeah.
When they trade him for a bucket of balls.
A bucket of balls? Joe! I mean, listen, this isn't quite like when you said trade Jose Altuve.
No.
And trade Kyle Tucker for a bucket of balls.
We jumped the shark.
I'll trade Yordan Alvarez for a new set of headphones.
The only Kyle Tucker trade I've talked about is trading my leg for his. That's the only thing I would trade for Kyle Tucker.
That'd be a very funny visual.
a little leg and a big leg.
I don't
he
want you.
He wouldn't run very well.
I wouldn't want to host with a peg-legged host. I'd be uncomfortable.
No, I would just have a super long...
That's ableist.
It is ableist, but it'd be strange to think, like, this man cut off his leg to help out Kyle Tucker.
Yep.
And then what happened?
Dedicated to the game.
I mean, I don't think that leg would help Kyle Tucker, Joe.
I mean, look, it's in fine shape.
The leg wouldn't reach the ground, sir.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Maybe just, like, part of a shin bone.
Yeah, like, if I give him, like, my shin down, like, I think he'll be okay. Not the whole leg.
There's not much you could do with
the, just part of
most
the bone.
Of that leg.
Yeah, just part of it.
Like, but you'd have to get rid of that whole leg. Like, once that bone's gone,
you take what you need.
You're Long John Silver.
I mean, I don't need. I'm not an athlete. I'm not playing flag football every Saturday. Or
it sounds like a shot fired.
No, I just go to the gym and walk.
That also sounds like a shot fired because I go to the gym and walk.
Oh, you do? You're a walker.
I'm elevated. Yeah.
Same. Yeah. I can't run on a treadmill. It breaks my knees.
Framber Valdez, mentally weak per Joe George, but Paul Gallant, definitely mentally weak. He's okay with that. Double standard. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. Should the Astros trade Framber Valdez? No, we're not actually doing that. Framber's been very good of late. And in Joe's defense, earlier this year, there were moments, I think, where the majority of Astros fans were thinking to themselves, we're not giving this guy an extension. Things are going very bad. This farm system is doo-doo.
I was going to say, they're also like 10 and 25.
Yeah.
It was pretty. The times were bad, okay?
When things are bad, you do dumb things.
They're bad, bad vibes.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. You got Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. One of my favorite parts about the battle for the silver boot is hearing Rangers broadcaster Dave Raymond be sad. You'll hear him be sad as Yordan Alvarez went yard last night. And did Zach DiCenzo give the Astros offense a shot in the arm? How else can they get a shot in the arm? Stick around, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Football season's right around the corner, and that means it's the best time of the year to head to the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles. Sean and I will be out there at the end of the month for a couple of shows, and we're ready. We're ready to be looking at the lines, the over-under win totals, the prop bets, all of that's there for you at their 19 betting kiosks, their three over-the-counter terminals, wherever, however you want to bet, you can. You can download the ESPN Bet app. As soon as you cross into Louisiana state lines, you'll be able to use that as well. They have the 24-foot video wall, great food, great beverages there. You want some Crawford Bock, it's there on tap for you at the Sportsbook at LeBurs Lake Charles. I can't recommend it enough. I love going there. I can't wait to get back to the steakhouse inside LeBurs. It's always one of my go-tos when I'm there. Check them out, LeBurs Lake Charles, the Sportsbook there, and tell them Joe George sent you by.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
And that ball is touched off. High and deep and gone. A two-run shot for Yordan Alvarez. And that is a big home run, makes it a 4-0 score. You know, 2-0, even with a no-hitter going, the Rangers felt like they're in the game. 4-0 really changes the calculus in the bottom of the ninth.
Ah, big words. I don't know if it changes the calculus as much as it changes the arithmetic. Get it right, Dave Raymond.
I mean, at least he knew which team he was talking about this time.
That's true. For those who don't know, in the midst of calling a Corey Seager home run over the weekend, he accidentally called the Rangers the Astros. In his defense, he used to be an Astros broadcaster. I could see it happening. But when you're the defending World Series champions, that is going to be held against you. As far as Dave Raymond, in that moment right there, you can hear the sadness in his voice. He realizes that the silver boot, it's slipping away from the Texas Rangers, and they're about to lose it for an eighth straight year. And, I mean, eight straight silver boots, you can punch them in at your local Major League Baseball front office, Major League Baseball league headquarters. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That is as good as a World Series.
100%, especially when the other team sucks usually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Rangers are not really good baseball team that often.
No, not really.
So this is all they had to live for.
They've kind of checked out already. It bothers me. I feel like Rangers fans, they won the World Series and now,
that's yeah, because they're all getting ready to put their orange and blue back on. They're all ready to be Astros fans again.
I don't know about that.
I think
they're back to not caring.
I think a lot of them have been rooting for the Astros the last couple years.
I think some. I don't think a lot. I think some. But I honestly would not be able to tell you. I just think it was a disgusting act by Houstonians who were rooting for the Rangers in the World Series.
Yeah. I mean, remember, it was Arlington or the city of Dallas that put a congratulations to the Astros up on one of their buildings in 2017.
That's not good either.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Ooh, it's Texas. No, it's two cities in Texas that should hate each other in sports. This is how sports work. God, get it right.
Hey, you don't root for another city. I never understood those takes.
Well, especially if that city is in your division. And is nearby you. And there's already a bit of an axe to grind, at least from Houston's perspective, towards Dallas. Dallas doesn't really seem to care about Houston, which makes it more infuriating. So to see some people rooting for the Rangers in the World Series because Texas, or because they just eliminated you.
Like, why would you ever root for, like, the Spurs?
Why? I don't know.
Why would you ever do that?
At least the Spurs, I'll say this. At least the Spurs won all the time.
That's true.
Semi-understandable.
So, like, if you're going to bandwagon, at least you're bandwagoning. That's why I think they bandwagon for the Astros, because the Astros win all the time.
That's what I would
do. The Rangers won once. Congratulations.
We have a couple of texts here. From the 409, a texter agrees with Joe's original take back in May about moving on from Fromber. Astros fans understand where you come from. Everyone has witnessed Fromber's head case games. But then another texter brings up that moments later, you said you thought Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers were coming back. Mm-hmm. Gal Media doesn't have a drug use policy?
In May, I thought they were coming back. A lot has changed since then.
Yeah.
I'm at this point, maybe we'll see them both in 2025. Maybe being the key word there.
So Gal Media doesn't have a drug use policy. I can neither confirm nor deny that.
And to be honest, I don't really know.
No radio station tests.
Yeah, I mean...
That's why we do this.
Yeah, true.
I know they don't have, or I'm pretty sure we don't have a drug policy.
I'm going to call.
Because I've never been tested
for it. See if I can get a test for you?
Sure, do it.
See what happens?
See what happens.
Yeah. I mean, Sean's the one that's probably going to call HR right now. I mean, Paul, during the break, just like,
I know,
savage. He burped into the microphone.
What?
Right into Sean's ears.
It's a natural bodily function. If I burp, if I fart, what's wrong with that?
Can we keep the natural bodily functions to a minimum? At least in my ears?
I can't control it. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Okay.
It was savage. He apologized, so it's okay.
I did apologize.
You turn your head away from the mic.
In the Gallant family, if I burp or fart and say excuse me afterwards or sorry, no one can say anything about it.
It's a good point. That's what I teach my son. So.
This is basically the Gallant family household.
The Gallant, like the full Gallant family household growing up, or the current one with just you and your cat?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
Arya can't say anything because she can't speak. She's a cat.
Facts. Yeah. She cannot say anything.
She can't say anything about it. But there you go. Another text. This is from the 747. Just clicked on the YouTube, and Paul, you're looking skinny. See? I would pass a drug test. I would pass a drug test.
How nice.
Keep on having the pre-workout nightmares, and I'm going to stop taking pre-workout, I think.
You're having nightmares?
I keep on having weird nightmares, and it's because of the pre-workout. It's directly linked to when I started taking pre-workout.
Can I ask you what they're about?
They have been all over the place.
Like, are these like Damon from House of Dragon nightmares?
No, they none of them make any sense either.
Why are those?
It's like Hulk Hogan broke into my house with a shotgun. I mean, what?
Wait a minute.
I have no idea where that came from.
You're holding out on us on this?
That was today.
Who
cares about my dreams?
Oh, no. I think
Hulk Hogan coming in with a shotgun, yeah,
Welcomes us into your mind a little bit. Yeah, yes, man. If that's what's happening since you started taking pre-workout, you should probably stop.
I don't know, though, because...
It seems pretty harmless.
It is, at the very least, like, after, you know, I stop panting and...
Oh, is it, like, really bad?
I've been waking up like, whoa!
Okay, okay.
And then, okay. Then don't do
at,
it.
At, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah, like, then stop taking pre-workout.
Yeah, my son wakes up at 3 a.m. crying for milk. Paul wakes up because he's scared of Hulk Hogan with a shotgun.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, to be honest, like, of all the people that could walk in your house with a shotgun, like,
hey, brother, I'm going to blow Aria away. You know, that wouldn't be good. Hey, the Astros offense. Hey, got the Yordan home run, as you heard, coming into the segment. The top of the order delivered as well. This is one of those weird games where they had a lot of hits and there wasn't a lot of run production. Just 4 runs on those 11 hits. And 2 of those runs only came because of double plays that weren't turned. 1 in the 4th, 1 in the 6th. Zach DiCenzo, 0-for-4 as your designated hitter. It's always weird when a guy who's your designated hitter isn't thought to be a good hitter. Just a thought. He did not provide the shot in the arm. Pedro Leon, 5 strikeouts his first 9 at-bats. He has not provided the shot in the arm. And the Astros have the worst lowercase w, uppercase RC plus, whatever that means, since July 30th in all of baseball. It's the lowest, worse than even the Chicago White Sox.
Yikes. Hey, but they won a baseball game at least. Congratulations.
They won the baseball game. I'm not trying to be negative. The offense, though, I mean, we're talking 5 straight games with 4 runs or less.
Yeah, I mean, just because Fromber was incredible last night, you can't ignore that in the first inning you had runners on second and third with 1 out and you did nothing with it.
Yeah, your starting pitching continues to carry this team.
Yeah, I mean, they're dominant. Like, it's carry. Like, it's incredible what they're doing right now over the last 5-6 games. And the offense is just doing nothing with it. Like, thankfully, hopefully, that's a sign for Yordan Alvarez. We've seen him go through these funks before, mm-hmm, where, like, he just doesn't hit a lot of home runs. He went over 30 days between his last home run and the one he hit last night. So hopefully this will start to wake things up a little bit. Bregman had a bunch of good contact last night. Yainer Diaz continued to be hitting the ball extremely hard. Even that 1 out he had at that point in the game, I think it was his first at-bat or his second at-bat, it was the hardest hit ball of the night. Went right to the third baseman. So, like, there's some signs of positivity, Jake Myers. But you saw the bottom of the order with, like, Chaz, and then whether it's DiCenzo or Leon, they're just not good.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if we're getting to desperate measures now. Hat for bats, like Jobu, like in Major League with Serrano, played by Dennis Haysbert, a.k.a. President Palmer from 24. What a great series. I had so much fun watching that again on DVD. Do they start doing crazy things? I saw Jackson Holliday, who, big Orioles prospect, came up, sucked, sent back down, came back up, and apparently ever since he started playing Golden Tee,
yes,
he has been a lot better as a hitter.
So what are the Astros going to start doing?
Big buck hunter? That would help your eye coordination.
Yes.
And hands, I guess. You're pumping shotguns like you're Hulk Hogan in my dreams.
NFL blitz.
And that's a little, you know, that's too joystick. That's too joystick oriented.
What about slugfest? Because then, like, there's going to be hitting dingers and they'll just, like, be envisioning, you know, hitting home runs.
Can you play slugfest at an arcade?
I think they used to. I haven't seen one in a long time. They did used to be arcade games.
Slugfest was fun.
Yeah.
That game, I don't think, has been made in 20 years.
Yeah. Golden Tee.
I don't get Golden Tee.
I'm so bad.
I don't understand the appeal.
I've tried it. I don't either.
Hey, let's play golf. Sounds great. At a bar. Sounds great. And we're going to use an upside down mouse pad to hit your shots.
Mm-hmm.
Who thought that up?
Oh, hey, you know what?
Why do people like it?
It's saving Jackson Holliday.
It is saving Jackson Holliday, but I don't understand it. Why do people like Golden Tee?
Yeah, it's not for me. It's not. I've even tried just like the normal golf video games. I don't quite get it.
Those I understand. Like, I feel like it's like, hey, you're actually golfing and you don't have to go outside. But Golden Tee, I don't get it. I mean, you're paying money to play this game and like, oh, look, I got a custom hat. Like, you basically are like older people playing Fortnite.
Yes.
Look at my outfit. Oh, wow. I look kind of like John Daly. I'm wacky.
I think it's also weird when it's a full bar and people are playing Golden Tee at the bar. There's a Wakefield Crowbar. We did a bunch of remotes there this year. There's a Golden Tee, and like people are like drinking at the bar, and then there's just like this like group of guys playing Golden Tee. I'm like, that's kind of weird behavior.
A lot of guys like it. I just don't get it.
I never was big into the arcade games.
It's because he's young.
You are young though. Yeah, you don't understand.
I realize that's probably where it's coming from, but it is weird just to be like, let me play this, and then if I ever want to play this again, I have to come back here
and pay money.
And pay money to do so.
And if you don't do a certain amount of things over a certain amount of time, you have to pay more money to keep playing.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I do enjoy like the driving ones. The like cruising USA stuff. That's fun.
Those are fun.
Because you just floor it and jerk the wheel around. That's all you do.
That's true. Although, I don't know if I can go back to that anymore after having done the go-karts once. And I still haven't gone and done go-karts again since going to the Andretti's place over in Katy, but that was the coolest thing I've ever done. I should have been a racer.
Do a show field trip.
Yeah.
Let's go do go-karts.
Yeah.
We got GoPros.
Yeah.
Film it.
Yeah, I like
it. See who wrecks first.
Do it.
I'm not going to wreck first.
It might be.
I live my life a quarter of a mile at a time, bitch.
I think Paul and I are the only ones with go-kart experience.
Mm-hmm. I've done go-karts like twice. Not you know, fast go-karts, I would say.
So twice? Okay.
Like, you know, so I might be a little nervy. A little nervous.
Oh, yeah, you will be when I ram you into the wall.
Rubin's racing. Just know that.
Okay, so basically, Paul's going to try to get rid of me.
No, I'm going to try to win by any means necessary. Hey,
let's go back to the Paul Gallant show. Let's put Joe into the wall so we can't talk anymore.
That's not what's happening. What I am saying is I will win by any means necessary. You're not going to die in a go-kart accident.
I didn't say I was going to die since I couldn't talk anymore.
No, you're not. What?
You're trying to put me in concussion protocol.
You get maimed.
You can't get maimed or disabled to the point where you can't speak while go-kart
You
racing.
Don't know that.
Yet. I mean, you can't do that.
I bet you I can find at least one example of that.
You're just going to Google go-kart injury.
Worst go-kart injuries. I'm not Googling that because I don't want to watch a bunch of bad YouTube videos. You want to know, Riss? He's back.
He is back. The first home run in a while.
It does say how much of the Astros' offense is just like, hey, can Yordan Alvarez
hit
a home run? Yeah. But more than driving the runs himself. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Because that works.
Especially when, I don't know, Altuve or Bregman get a hit. And they did it after Bregman got a hit. So
yeah. Yiner's getting on base. Yeah.
Big win. Silver boot on the line today.
just an hour from now. You say. Coming up next, Soft Boys. We do it every single Wednesday at 12:30. Who has been soft in the world of sports? Team Canada? Serena Williams? Simone Biles? We'll discuss. Stick around.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka, seeing LeBron James whining in the eyes of some, bitching about the referees, called him a soft-ass boy every single Wednesday at 12:30. We talk about everything that's been soft in the world of sports. The Oakland A's! Imagine breaking the Chicago White Sox 21-game losing streak.
Someone had to do it. You would think, yeah, that's tough. I'd hate to be that team.
I imagine very few people in totality watched that game.
Ooh, I wonder what the... I wish we could see, like, TV ratings.
Yeah. The TV ratings and the attendance. And I don't know if this was in Oakland or if this was in Chicago.
It was in Oakland.
Oh, man. So this is the worst possible draw for a team that's about to leave town. Yeah, that must have been... I would venture that less than 30,000 people in total watched that game.
Oh, yeah. Between TV, and I think you might be able to include radio in that. Like,
yeah.
Listened, watched, in attendance.
Late night in Chicago?
Yeah.
Because I imagine it's an 8:30 or 9 o'clock start.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock start. Oof. I mean, and look, the Oakland A's are 19 games above the White Sox in the standings.
I thought you were going to say, like, out of the playoff. No.
The A's have 47 wins. The White Sox have 28.
Damn, that's brutal.
The White Sox lost 21 straight games. They've only won 28 games on the season. Like, your losing streak was almost longer than your total wins in baseball. That's incredible. But soft for Oakland to lose.
More soft, boys. Team Canada, with 10 NBA players on their, quote, most talented team ever, end quote, lost to France 82-73. By the way, Rudy Gobert got benched by France in that game, and Draymond Green's been crowing about that. It was a rough day for Dylan Brooks. I think he went 1-for-9, but it's not his fault. It's everybody else on Team Canada's fault, specifically Jamal Murray. I stand with Dylan Brooks. He's just on a team that sucks. They don't have his compete level of standing in the middle of Team USA interviews over and over again in the warm-up process for the actual games themselves.
Yeah, it is Jamal Murray's fault.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray's the second best player on the team. He stunk out loud the entire time, so much so that not only was he not starting, when they were making a run in the fourth quarter, because they did make it close in the fourth quarter, Jamal Murray wasn't playing. Like, the coach was just like, we're better off without Jamal Murray on the court. So, yeah, not great stuff from Jamal Murray. Also, side tangent on Rudy Gobert getting benched. The story was that he got like a minor finger surgery before the game, and then the coach was like, "No, he didn't have any surgery. We just chose to start Wembanyama at center."
Oh boy!
A little Astros are strong in the French Basketball Federation.
First of all, like, who's starting Rudy Gobert over Victor Wembanyama?
Well, they're starting both of them.
Oh, okay.
They're starting Victor at power forward, Rudy at center.
That makes
sense. And then now, I don't know who they, I think it was Yabusele that they put in at power forward.
That's a cool name. Don't know who that is.
Celtics legend.
Oh. Jamal Murray, yeah, 6 points per game, 29% from the field, 14.3% from the three-point line. Yikes. Yikes.
Not good.
Continuing through soft boys, soft gal, Serena Williams got mad at a restaurant called The Peninsula because she claims she was denied access to the rooftop to eat in an empty restaurant. Her children were with her, but she got community noted because the restaurant was fully booked. And the restaurant apologized, saying, hey, look, we were fully booked, but next time it's on us. Celebrities complaining and then getting exposed when they're complaining towards customer service, especially since customer service gets treated like absolute dirt by so many people. One win for the little guy. Hell yeah. Go Peninsula, go!
There's a lot of things that Elon has done very poorly about social media.
With X.
But this community note, Serena was not, quote, denied access, is incredible.
It's great. Some people need to be held accountable. When you call someone out and they actually tried to help you out, and then all of a sudden you're potentially hurting their business, There's too much of that going on these days. Soft boys, soft gal, Simone Biles. This article, I feel like, was framed poorly. The first paragraph says Simone Biles was left fuming with Olympic fans. I don't know if it was quite fuming, but she says that she wished there was more noise while she was on the balance beam, which she fell off. Honestly, we do better in environments, said Biles, when there's noise going on because it feels most like practice. So today you can hear some of the Android ringtones going off, the photo clickers, whatever that was. And so, you know, you're trying to stay in your zone and then people start cheering and then the shushing gets louder. So really, they should be shushed because they're louder. I don't know. It was really weird and awkward. And we've asked several times if we can have some music or some background noise. So I'm not really sure what happened there. But yeah, not our favorite. None of us liked it. So the crowd too quiet for Simone Biles during her balance beam routine.
Maybe your sport's boring.
I feel like you would want it to be quiet. I guess the small little noises are going to be picked up a little bit more.
Yeah, but you either want it to be like so loud that like it's just kind of it's just all noise or dead silent, I guess.
It sounds like she just wants like some white noise in the back. Like you were saying, like in practice, there's a million people talking and things going on. So there's like just a hum of noise. But when it's quiet with little interruptions, that's probably more distracting than one way or the other.
Gotcha. You know?
That's what I gather, but it did get kind of confusing at the end.
It did, especially the quote just kept on going and going.
Yeah.
Okay. You could have just said, it would have been nice if there was a little bit of noise, but hey, I fell off the balance beam.
Yeah. Balance beam does seem like the one, though, where it's like total silence.
Is that where she got the twisties? I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I don't think so.
Probably the vault, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think
that's the most like flipping that you do.
Okay, that makes sense. By the way, she and her squad mate, Jordan Chiles, after the floor event where Brazilian Rebeca Andrade won the gold, they bent the knee for her. And people are coming after Marlon Humphrey, who didn't like it. NFL star roasted.
I saw the Marlon Humphrey tweet. And it was one of those where I saw it and I was like, I already know people are going to not like this.
I kind of liked it.
I think he goes like, this is legit sickening.
Yeah.
Or this is disgusting.
I don't know if it was sickening or disgusting, but I do feel like we're a little bit too fraternal with people that beat us. I also feel like the gymnastics community is probably a little bit closer than the, let's say, Ravens and Steelers for Marlon Humphrey as an example.
Yeah, and I also think Andrade being from Brazil and not like a rival country, more of a rival country where they have these rivalries where they go head-to-head against these teams. I think it's like, yeah, she's cool. She probably trains in the U.S. Like
I would think so.
Yeah, the whole it's like this would be so weird. Like if this was the Ravens and the Steelers, like if like
oh TJ, yeah,
if like TJ Watt was like
bent the knee to Lamar Jackson
as they won like the AFC championship. Yeah, or something.
That was so bizarre.
It would
so bizarre.
That's why American sports are better than international sports. Come on,
this is soft behavior. I kind of agree with Marlon Humphrey.
More in the gymnastics world, Michaela Skinner, the person who was mad at Team USA's lack of effort and is getting like dunked on online. She says she's getting death threats after Simone Biles posted shade or threw some shade at her after they won, which might be true. I just got to say, internet death threats aren't real.
Yeah. And then
someone who's gotten them, they're not real.
Yeah,
they're not.
And then you can't like what you're she asked Simone Biles to intervene
to call off the dogs.
Yeah, exactly. You blocked her on social media. How is Simone going to see?
Yeah. Like also, like, it's just not, that's not going to work.
No, it's not.
The everyone gets death threats. It's to the point where it's like everyone on social media gets death threats if you make enough news.
Yep, 100%. More soft boys. So you saw Simone Biles happy that Jonathan Owens was allowed to go watch her in the Olympics. Navy, not soft. Unlike the Bears, they're not letting one of their players go to the Olympics to watch his sister win the gold medal. Joe
didn't even let him watch on TV.
No, they showed the replay afterwards. That's enough. What, he needs to go all the way to France to watch one event? Huh.
Like, you couldn't just let him watch it and then go back to practice?
Thea LaFond, her brother, Shireen, is a defensive end at Navy. She is from Dominica, and she won the gold in the triple jump. Guess what? You can watch the triple jump after the fact.
It's true.
And still go to practice. Do you need to be there?
Now, do you think if she was Team USA, they would have let her watch?
Yep. Yes.
They would have brought in they would have watched on the big screen in the
yeah.
in the facility, but Dominican Republic, get out now, of here. Now, or Dominica, that, if, whatever.
Yeah, I don't even, that sounds like a made-up country.
I thought you were saying Dominican
Republic. It's probably a country that the United States Navy is protecting. So, I mean, sorry.
Hey, now, we got a Banana Republic set up there.
If you're the player, would you rather find out this way? Or would you, like, because it kind of like got spoiled from, like, wouldn't you, like, hey, don't tell me the results? Like, let me watch it and see?
Maybe.
Just record it?
Because, like, spoiler alert.
I'll turn off my phone.
Yeah.
Just have Peacock running.
Like, we'll watch it as soon as practice is over, at least. But, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like it takes from the moment a little bit.
I was reminded of the time. I forgot which Olympics it was, but it was one where his team was on Hard Knocks. And, like, on Hard Knocks, this guy on whatever team was watching his fiance compete in the Olympics. And I just thought about that and how Jonathan Owens is at the Olympics. And like how every team just treats it so differently, where the Bears are like, no, go. Yeah, it's whatever, a week, 10 days. Get out of here. We're, I don't know, I forgot who it was, but it was some like special teamer was like, no, you have to stay here.
Yeah, he was watching his wife. I've seen it before. Like, yeah. He's in like the front row.
Yeah, it was like some guy on the Browns or something.
Yeah. It's because, you know, Simone Biles is the GOAT and the Bears are a great family-oriented organization.
The McCaskies are like,
I mean, Simone Biles was
football
even,
is family.
She was even, you know, she was featured on Hard Knocks last night.
What kind of family are we talking about? A dysfunctional, underachieving one?
I mean, yeah, who like has like alleged, like, you know, like allegedly murdered like one of the original owners.
Oh. Yeah, that Joe sent me that story. In email. That's fascinating.
Wait, no, I think he did.
Okay.
I just in Joe's defense, I will admit the Patriots soft boys, they removed themselves from Brandon Ayuk trade talks.
Because maybe he like doesn't want to play for a bad team.
He didn't want to play for
no,
guys.
No, they removed themselves.
Yeah. A couple of quick ones they'll just run through. The Red Sox deleted a funny tweet. I feel like they should have left it up. Red Sox are soft for tweeting. Anyone who loves BDSM is our friend without introduction. They meant Big Dom Smith moments. I like it. I think they're soft for putting that down. Censorship. Yes. Conor McGregor soft for getting mad that former President Donald Trump said Khabib is the best fighter alive. American Olympian Caleb Dressel, who had a bad day at the Olympics, said that it was because he stayed up too late watching a Game of Thrones marathon.
Which love it.
I believe Joe George is back again. Daniel Jones, who has not enjoyed watching the Giants offseason Hard Knocks. And there you go. South Sudan also blaming the referees for not advancing in the Olympics. South Sudan, you probably need to get yourselves out of the headlines, okay? Gilbert Arenas is going to go drive by on you again.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah. Anyway, it is Gallant and George. The Astros won against the Texas Rangers last night. Framber Valdez almost had a no-hitter. Yusei Kikuchi on the hill as they try to get that silver boot for a seventh straight year. You want to talk about that? It's on the table. And we'll tell you what happened at Houston Texans practice today. Their last one in Ohio before playing the Steelers in preseason game number 2 on Friday. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put. The Texans had their last practice before Friday night's preseason game against the Steelers in Ohio. No pads, no Titus Howard, no Stephon Diggs, also no Joe Mixon, Laremy Tunsil, Christian Harris, Will Anderson, Kamari Lassiter, Brevin Jordan, D'Amico Autry. This practice did not matter. And D'Amico Ryans was asked about Titus Howard and said, he's, quote, good, end quote.
He's good. Problem solved.
He also said offensive line injuries will not change the Texans' approach to preseason reps. So there you go. Pretty much nothing happened today. Everyone's healthy. Preseason game 2 Friday. The starters are supposed to play. How long they play, it won't be that long. It might be 2 series at most. I'd like to see the offensive line get some work. The actual offense itself, with a Stephon Diggs on the field, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. I feel like more harm can come than good, but it would be nice to see Stroud out there in an actual game setting. More as a way to gauge where this offense is, given that just about every single practice, except for Mondays, the offense has been bad.
See, that's where I hear you. But if Tunsil's not going to play, and Titus isn't going to play, and Shaq Mason, who's a veteran, is probably not going to play, then, like, do I really want to see C.J. Stroud out there with Blake Fisher and Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs, and I don't even know who the backup right guard is
probably
or right
not.
Tackle? Like, probably not. So, like, it would be nice to see the offense moving a little bit, but if he's going to be behind this awful offensive line that's just been getting killed all camp, then, like, I don't really know if it's worth it. Maybe a series. I'm still a little bit confused about Tunsil, I guess, like, if this is just a veterans thing. Or if it's a just, you know, he's actually hurt thing.
I feel like it's a veteran thing.
I think so, too.
I think this is sort of the same way that they used to manage DeAndre Hopkins and Jadeveon Clowney in training camp, which is to say they never had to practice. Certain players in certain locker rooms in 2024, they are going to get extra care, treatment, whatever it's called. It's just the way things are done now. There's less Bill Parcells type coaches and there's more Pete Carroll type coaches who are smart enough to know that, hey, it's important to have guys out there at practice, but your best players, even in a team sport, they're on another tier.
Yeah, which is, well, and I guess Laramie's, just because he's highly paid, is in that tier, because he seems to be the only one that's out for that reason. Joe Mixon's hurt. Will Anderson, Lasseter, all these guys who are not practicing, they got like little dings. Like, they're not severely hurt. Only really Mixon is. So I'm kind of 50-50 if I want to see him much, but like, it's mostly like, if TJ Watt's playing, I really don't want to see Blake Fisher and whoever the other, like Charlie Heck, protecting CJ Stroud for possession where TJ Watt ends the Texans season.
But that's the other thing where, I mean, TJ Watt's probably not going to play.
True, true.
I feel like he's still coming off of an injury, right? Didn't he suffer an injury towards the end of last year?
Yeah, he's always kind of hurt, so probably.
He does get banged up a lot.
So, I mean, because the more value they'll get, because they're doing, this is one of the teams they're doing the inter-squad practices with right after the game. So I think you'll see more value time there, you know, like when DJ and all the reporters are out there next week, when they're doing that, that'll be more valuable. It'll be nice to see CJ back out there, but at most two series. My guess is it will be one. The important starters will be out there for a series, just because there's still a lot of, I like, just like watching Hard Knocks last night and the kind of thinking back to the first game, like, there are a lot of question marks about this roster with like Mechie and Hutchinson in the wide receiver position, where I don't know how much of Tank and Nico and Diggs you need to see on Friday.
None. You know, would be nice to have them out there from a watching perspective, but from a they need to be out there, no. Right now, you got to figure out who's actually going to close out that wide receiver room, because it is definitely their deepest position. As you mentioned, Woods, Mechie, Hutchinson, who has had some good moments, Ben Skowronek, among many others. Like, they are loaded. Steven Sims is a good returner. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, it is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call. To text from the 832, I'd like to think Tunsil is ripping the bong mask in the locker room while the Texans practice. I would like to get a bong mask like Laramie Tunsil for research purposes. As we said earlier in the show, we do not drug test here, but I would never do something illegal. However, for the sake of science, sometimes you have to go where no man has gone before in Texas, because no one has ever smoked weed in this state.
That bong mask would kind of scare me.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems kind of intense.
Well, yeah, it's a mask that was used during World War I, probably, where
it's true.
There was some chemical warfare going on.
Ooh, like, you can get one that has some like extra history for it. So it's just like, it can be like a centerpiece in your house.
So I remember I was at my grandmother's house when I was, I want to say, probably 8 in South New Jersey. And I was in the closet.
Paul, you're still in the closet.
In the closet, I was looking around and I found a couple of interesting things. First off, I found a couple of swords. I was obsessed with swords at the time. Did not know that these were Nazi officer swords that my grandfather had taken back from an officer that he had captured in Europe in World War II. Also, a German gas mask, which I remember like turning it over and shaking it. There was a bunch of clinking. And in the top of the gas mask, there's just a ton of coins from like all over Europe.
Interesting.
I think the person like was that had been wearing that mask was just collecting them or something like that. I don't know. It's crazy.
Do you have any of that stuff now?
Some of my other relatives have it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know what you do. Like it's German German stuff. Like, do you get rid of it?
Yeah, because you got to like really like signify like, hey, like this is like a Nazi sword.
Yeah, you're not putting a Nazi sword on your mantle. You know,
it's not like I'm not German.
I think if you have one that's an heirloom, I think that's fine.
Yeah, like I think
especially if you're collecting them. Oh, yes,
when you start collecting them, it's like so. Where were you
January?
What interests you so much about the Nazis? Exactly.
Yeah, I think you need like a photo of like your grandfather. Mm-hmm. Like you need like him like if there's a picture of him collecting the sword from the Nazi guy
or just being,
probably not.
So that way there's like a like hey, this is where he got it
or
from.
Or a picture of him just like when they do like the like yearbook picture. I know it's not a yearbook picture. When they do the yearbook picture and it's like, okay, so that the right flag was in the background. We know he was on the good side.
The good thing is I know that like this is not in my possession, so it's not a me problem. So I at least have that going for me. But I remember seeing it when I was a little kid, and I wanted the swords because I was obsessed with weapons as a little kid. Like, it was. My mom didn't let me have any. And then all of a sudden, you see a real sword, and you're like, whoa, not seeing the swastika on it, you know?
That's what you did not see.
No, I did not see it. I did not know any better. But then I became a history savant, as some say. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN975 on YouTube, at ESPN Houston. Up next, can Yusei Kikuchi do what he did this past Friday? Again, this afternoon, we'll discuss. Stick around.